It's time to laugh, learn, and take your photography to the next level with your favorite cowgirls with cameras, Kara, Kim, and Phyllis.
Welcome to the Cowgirls with Cameras podcast. I'm Kim Beer with Kim Beer Photography and Be More Business.
I'm Kara with Fast Horse Photography.
And I'm Phyllis with Phyllis Burchette Photo.
Good morning, you guys.
I know, I'm just so glad we're doing this in the morning. I know you had a late night, Kim, but we are so much more with it in the morning.
You think?
I really don't know if I would be at all aware by afternoon, to be honest with you.
I don't think I'm very with it this morning. So we've already had a technical issue, remember? So
that's true.
It's okay. But you figured it out. We got you through it. We got you on the other side of it. Yeah. And I have no rest for the wicked either. I have a huge photo shoot tomorrow that got rescheduled from last week because of the rain. So I have an all day. I'm actually going over there and staying the night. So yeah, it's a big day tomorrow.
You better get a nap in.
I definitely am planning a nap. I'm teaching a class over lunch, and then I'm going to take a nap, and then I'm going to game, and then I'm going to go to my location for tomorrow. I woke up this morning, Kara, and my body is like, woman, you are effing 60 years old. You need to plan better. It's time to not depend on us to bounce back this fast. But actually, I have my tea. I'm surviving. What have you been up to? We have been up to a lot of things. We were up to Montana.
Yeah. We were at the Circle Bar Guest Ranch in Montana. It was awesome. We had a great group of photographers, a really fun group of photographers that were kind of down for anything. And we were really well taken care of at the ranch. I mean, the folks there were so great.
I'm going to tell you, I didn't go into that event expecting like 10-star food. And every single meal at that place got better. And I know we spend a lot of time. We talk about the photography as kind of secondary to the food. I'm going to tell you, that place, the food was astonishingly good. I have been highly disappointed in the cuisine choices that I have experienced since I have been away from Circle Bar Guest Ranch.
Well, you know, the hardest part of coming home is looking in your fridge and being like, now I have to do it myself.
And I do have to say, that place is stunningly beautiful. It is stunningly beautiful. Once we got there, as soon as we saw it, we were very much in love with all of the scenery. And there's water, and the staff was amazing. They did everything they could to accommodate us. And we did have a great group of photographers who literally were up for anything. they were a lot of fun and had really good positive attitudes about everything. And we went on some really fun adventures out to the river.
And so were our wranglers. Our wranglers were up for anything. So what a great group we had.
Yep. They were so positive and just down for it. They were awesome.
Yeah. Really neat group.
It was really neat group. And I very well led. Like, I was very impressed. Alyssa, who is kind of the, I don't know if she has the technical job term of head wrangler, but she was the head photographer, have to make it happen person.
I said she was head of horse operations.
Head of horse operations. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's young, but let me tell you, if that's the next generation, we are well taken care of. She is on it. That girl does not know quit. So,
well, we could tell she was raised right by her dad. Her dad was there helping too. So that's.
Yeah. And her sister.
Yep. 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 It wasn't a family affair for sure.
It was a family affair. Yeah. And the photography was beautiful. I don't know if you guys looked at your images, but I have some that, I've seen Phyllis has published a bunch, but that cliff that we shot on, I took a photo up there. I'm like, oh my God, that is like stunning. So yeah.
The whole staff was amazing. I mean, it was just that Angie took really good care of us. Everybody was great. The cook staff. Oh my gosh. Like you said,
hopefully we'll have some dates for next year. Fingers crossed we can get that all sorted out.
Yeah, it'll be back in May again. We're hoping for that same time zone.
Oh, gee, what a terrible thing to go back to Montana in May. Oh, that's awful.
Well, and we can't not mention the fact that we had a little adventure kind of pre that, because we all had to come in day early, and we went to the C.M. Russell Museum. And then Phyllis and I took this interesting exploration to C.M. Russell's cabin that he lived in when he was 16. I show everybody who is willing to look at the pictures I took with my phone of that cabin. And when next year, when I go back up there, I'm going to have to take my real camera up and take some different images of it. But it was a fascinating, it is an ecosystem within itself. And it's just like one of the coolest things I have ever gotten to witness. It's an amazing thing.
It was very and the ride up there was even cool. I mean, we hope we can utilize some of that for some photo shoots next year too. So
that would be awesome.
Yes. We of course scouted places because we're always looking. I don't know about you guys, but do you always like when you're even when you're driving down the highway, you think about, oh my gosh, if I could just put a horse in that scene.
Mm-hmm. Ed always comments because I'm always like, oh my God, look at that sky. That would be so perfect. Or look at that little wildflower field. Or like that would be so perfect for a horse, you know. Like, oh my gosh, why are the best wildflowers always in the middle of the median on the road? You know, constant.
We never grew up from being little girls who put horses in things.
Didn't we have some big winners on this one too, from our sponsors too?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, we had big winners. Yeah, so we had our sponsors, we're back again for this event, Guild Canvas and Greater Than Gatsby. I'll announce the winner of Greater or Guild, and you can do great. So the winner for the 16 by 20 Guild Canvas was Eric Pittman, who joined us at this event. And we can't wait to see which image he selects to have put on a canvas. Pretty excited about that. And big thank yous to Guild Canvas for being such a big support to us over the last couple of years.
Yes.
And ditto that to Greater Than Gatsby too. Thank you so much for being a great sponsor for every one of our events this year and last year. Alicia Thacker, I think I have her last name correct, won one of the collections from Greater Than Gatsby. So that was pretty cool. Yeah.
Did she pick it yet? I'm curious to know what she picked.
Oh, she did. And I'd have to go look at my notes to see what she, and she's already got it. So, yeah.
Oh, okay. Great. All right.
There was some presets for Lightroom, but I forget which ones. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's always fun to be able to do fun little giveaways like that. It's like a little bit of an icing on the cake, I think, for folks.
Yeah. And if you're a company out there that would like to sponsor us, we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We definitely will talk about you a lot.
Nikon and Canon.
Could we be wooed by Sony?
Perhaps.
They'd have to do some sweet talking to get us out of our camera closets.
They'd have to pay for everything, that's for sure. I'm pretty deep into the financial pockets.
You know what? At this point, I would just like a memory card sponsor.
Oh, that's, yes. I would love that too.
Yeah, a hard drive sponsor would be awesome.
Memory is so expensive right now. We really need some help. SanDisk and
Prograde.
I'm just looking at what I got sitting on the desk here.
I really like this company. I want the Sabrent, C-A-B-R-E-N-T, that company. I'm in love with this little card that I bought to do video on.
Awesome.
It's like my favorite thing today. So they would, that would be a good company. Anyway, all right. We'll quit trying to attract sponsors.
And we have other big news today.
We do?
Yes, we do. We're celebrating. Oh, we're celebrating.
That's right. I forgot.
100 episodes. Yoo-hoo.
Happy 100 episodes today. I can't believe, I can believe it because we get shit done. But I mean, honestly, like 100 episodes. I mean, we committed at this point, I think.
Yeah. I think the podcast is now going to be a thing.
Well, they say, I don't know if it's still true, but the average podcast only lasts 7 episodes and then it's dead. So we've made it 100.
Yeah.
I'm proud of us.
Yeah. And Carrie, you and I have made it through 200 plus episodes with each other. And we still like each other. That's the point.
It's hit or miss some days, but for the most part.
Yeah. For the most part, we still enjoy each other's company. That's saying something. So congratulations to us.
Yes.
All right. Well, speaking of 100th episode, we better get to the topic.
Yes. Yes. So today we are talking about what makes a photo feel Western? And that's kind of an interesting 100th episode topic, since that's what we spend most of our time talking about. And we've identified three kind of different things that are pretty much in alignment with the Western lifestyle and ways that you can start to explore how to create an image that feels Western. One of those things is story, of course. Story is always key and important in every single thing we do. We did not discuss who is going first or who is doing what, but Phyllis, I think you're going to go first because to me, story is the baseline of what we're talking about here today. So being able to tell that story of what is going on. Then also space and landscape and space and understanding how to utilize space to tell the story of this. And I'm going to talk about that. So I'll save my comments for that. And then texture, because there is a lot of texture to the Western lifestyle, leather and lace and all of those things. So
lace? Where's the lace at?
Lace? Well, the lacy designs on the leather.
Leather and lace.
There we go. Okay. If they go together. Hey, give me a break. I'm running on like 3 hours sleep here. So anyway. All right. Phyllis, why don't you go ahead and get us started with story?
Okay. I'm scared. I wasn't prepared to go first.
Get yourself there mentally.
Yes, mentally. You know how that doesn't work well for me. So I think for me, what truly makes an image feel Western is the story that it conveys. I think the best Western photographs really make viewers pause and wonder, who is this person? What kind of life do they live? What challenges have they faced? What happened before this moment? What's happening at this moment? And what's going to happen next? I think the single most important ingredient in Western story photography, storytelling, is authenticity. And that's driven real strongly by subject, landscape, and emotion, which all help to tell the story. Authenticity really matters. Well, it matters with everything we do nowadays. Audiences can really tell when something is staged versus lived. That's why when I photograph real ranches with real working cowboys and cowgirls capturing genuine moments, the goal isn't so much to create a Western drama, aka Yellowstone, it's to document the Western lifestyle. The story relies heavily on the true relationship between the people, the land, and the work that they do. It succeeds when you move past the hero shots to capture honest labor and candid interactions. I think these help communicate resilience and heritage of the life that they live. The environment, for me, is often as important as the subject in giving a sense of place and helping to tell the story. The vastness of the environment out west is a true defining characteristic of our American West. Using wide perspectives and leading lines helps frame subjects in a way that shows both their independence and their vulnerability against the immense landscape. Of course, we all know that photography is all about light, and it's a huge, very powerful storytelling tool that we all have as photographers. Whether it's the warm light of sunrise, or dusk glowing in the sun, or deep shadows across the landscape, all these help create the feeling and atmosphere that bring a Western image to life. I think Western photography isn't just about hats and horses and dramatic landscapes, although that is a big part of it. It's about the true connection between the people and the play and their places, between the tradition and daily life, and between the past and the present. The most powerful Western photographs do more than show us what the West looks like. They show us what it really, truly feels like. They reveal the grit and weathered hands, the trust between horse and rider, the vastness of the land, and the stories woven into every trail, fence line, and sunrise. When texture reflects history, like Kara's going to talk about, and space reveals the landscape, which Kim's going to talk about, and authenticity drives the story, a photograph becomes more than a beautiful image. It becomes a visual record of a way of life. And that's what viewers connect with, not perfection, but truth. That's something I've been struggling with sometimes, is perfection and letting go of it. So think about that when you take your pictures, because in the end, the best Western photographs don't just document the West. It honors the people, it's the land, and the stories that continue to shape it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So many stories that we've gotten the privilege over the years to tell. And it's also point of view, right? Because
sure,
you can look at, in storytelling, point of view when you're a writer is such a critical part of choosing how that story is going to get told. And as photographers, we literally are the point of view. But to be able to choose the point of view of how you want to tell that story is so critical. So I'm going to go next, Kara, because you've got the most detailed one of the group. So Phyllis mentioned about the space and the sky and loneliness and isolation. And there are so many ways that you can use space and proximity to deepen the story of a Western landscape. So I'm kind of the queen of metaphors. I live metaphorically. Like, if you're around me for any period of time at all, you know I love a good metaphor, and I will belabor one to the point of exhaustion. But when I think about space as a metaphor for the Western lifestyle, I think about what it's like to be in a city. So I spent last night in a city, and it's very tight, and the green spaces are super small, and the rooms are small, and everything feels very closed in and captured around you. And then you get outside into a Western landscape, like in Montana or Washington or anywhere where those wide open spaces. And all of the sudden, there's just this massive amount of breathing room. It's why the air sometimes, even in nice, clean cities, the air feels fresher when you get out into the country, because there just feels like there's more of it. And the comparison of being in those tight spaces versus being in the big ones is huge. And then it's also telling that story from the Western point of view of, you have the vastness to position a horse and rider in contrast to how huge the landscape is. I mean, Montana is specifically known as Big Sky Country, because it literally, it's the same sky I live under here in Missouri, but our trees here close us in. And Missouri is ranchers as well, but it's a different type of story that you tell because of how the space is utilized. Closed in trees, lots of grass, where out west it's more mountains and long view. So it's such a metaphor for different parts of the country and how ranchers interact with the landscape, as well as how all the animals live out in the landscape. And I do think also that metaphor continues to talk with you about the independence of Western lifestyle. Like, once you look at the vastness of space under Big Sky Country, let's say, it's really easy to understand that that individual in the photo, whether it be a horse or a horse and rider or a cow or whatever, I mean, it is independence. Like, you are away from civilization. All of that openness comes with a lot of fear, right? It comes with a lot of trepidation. And then there's the other side of that would be adventure and journey. And using space to indicate proximity as well. So when you switch over to putting two objects next to each other, like a cowboy and his horse, or a cowgirl and her horse, or somebody moving a small group of cattle, you suddenly start to utilize the metaphor of belonging, of partnership, of working together, of all of those things. And then I think about so many of the ranches. We mentioned this with Circle Bar when we first started out. It was dad and two daughters were there. Dad was there to support his girls who are working at the ranch. But so many of the ranches we go to, the space and proximity is generational, right? I was showing somebody some pictures from Dryhead, where we're going to be here in a little bit. It was when the kids were younger, like when Cassidy and Howdy and them were younger. And I think about how they've grown up and the proximity of how they show up in space next to each other, and how their closeness, how the two boys are always like on top of each other or wrestling with each other. You know, I mean, that shows that generational closeness as well. Other things, other metaphors that this is really portraying are freedom, determination, loneliness. Ranching is an incredibly lonely activity at times. Wildness, legacy, isolation. It's very interesting from a photographer's point of view to be able to look at a scene and determine what metaphor that you feel in that moment you want to show.
What a scary power like to have as photographers.
It is, you know, it is though. It's you know, with great power comes great responsibility, to quote
right,
Spider-Man.
Right.
Yeah. And so, yeah. But the ways as a photographer that you technically utilize to be able to do this is, your biggest advantage in being able to show this is, of course, focal length. Like, choosing whether you want to use a wide angle to show a lot of space, or whether you want to zoom in with a zoomed in focal length to be able to show proximity and closeness. Another really important aspect is your aperture, to be able to use depth of field, to be able to isolate something against something much larger, to be able to show everything in great detail from the front of the image to the background, and also to be able to choose to use a very open aperture to create a shallow depth of field that really creates connection with the subject of the image. And another thing that I use a lot to utilize for proximity in space is the rule of thirds, to be able to place something very small. I will tell you, where I was just shooting, this is true of Montana, so let me use that as an example. The Montana Big Sky is so huge. And when you're standing under it, it's interesting how your human brain sort of pieces all of that together and makes you feel in proximity. But when you shoot it, like you have the cowboy in a silhouette or a cowboy up against that big sky, it really does show how vast the countryside is and how much that particular individual has to manage, right? So yeah, it's interesting to use space and proximity to tell the story.
That's awesome.
Love that.
So I'm going to talk about texture, because when I think about what makes a photo feel Western, I do think about texture as part of that oftentimes. I think about things like the worn leather, dusty boots. I'm sure we all can think of a million things that come to mind. Weathered wood, spurs, the metal pieces, the frayed denim, the coiled ropes, horse coats, manes and tails. Like, I think about the texture of the horse's hair. And then I think about things like, everywhere we go, there's cowgirls with beautiful, messy braids hanging down. You know, that's a texture in itself. All of those different textures. The things that we might be tempted sometimes as photographers to kind of like clean up can be the things that can really make an image feel truly Western sometimes too. So like the dust or the worn leather, the scratched leather, the messy hair, sweat marks on the horse, details of weathering on the wood, you know, that's part of storytelling for the location that you're at that moment. And without them, that photo can start to feel a little too polished, like Western was a prop. We have certainly been in situations where we have attempted to set up a Western scene with people that maybe are not living a Western lifestyle, and it never comes across well. I've seen it, you know, it just never comes across well. So thinking about like the real textures and including those is, I think, is really an important part of the story. Honestly, texture is one of the fastest ways to make a photo feel Western, because it really makes the image feel real. The texture that's found in those details, it shows the use, it shows the work, it shows the life, the weather that it's been exposed to, all of those things. So I think that texture can work in a Western image because you can see and almost feel the texture. So think about things like worn leather and frayed denim, weathered wood. Like when you look at a picture of that, like you can almost put your hand out and picture what that's going to feel like if you were to touch it, or what the leather's going to smell like, or what that sweaty horse is going to smell like when he's coming back in, you know? So thinking about those types of things. So we need to keep the windblown hair and the dusty boots in the scene, because that's going to help us do some of the storytelling. I think that people, when you're looking at your images or when you're looking at a scene for shooting, look for the texture. And you can look for your texture in a couple of different ways. You can look for it in your subjects. So you might look at hat brims with different shapes or made of different materials, different levels of wear and tear, like they've been through something. You can look for boots with different patterns, look for hands holding reins, look at for denim, wool, leather, canvas, those materials that people wear or use on a regular basis. And then of course, look at the animals and the textures that you can find on the animals. A horse's coat that's sweaty versus a winter coat or a coat that has just dried from the rain, all of those are different patterns, and they all say something different about that story, about what's going on in that moment. You can also look for the texture in the environment. Like Kim just talked about how to use space and proximity and the environment. What are the textures in that environment? It might be an old barn, the leading lines of corral panels. It could be the dry grasses that we see when we're at the dry head. It might be dust in the air, sagebrush, fence lines. It could be the leading lines of a gravel road, the rust on the side of an old horse stock trailer. horse trailer. I think that those are all things that add texture to the scene. And then the last thing that I want to say about texture and pulling texture in is that texture is one of the ways that you can create mood in your images, and it can really help your viewer feel that scene, like I mentioned earlier, that you're trying to capture. So when we think about like what texture can make you feel and what kind of mood it can give you, like the way you shoot texture can create like a rugged feeling, a quiet feeling, that wild, weathered feeling. It can create nostalgia. Just shooting texture can create nostalgia. It could show hard work, you know, the weathered hands, the weathered tack, the uncoiling of that rope that's been worn. Those can give us a real grounded feeling sometimes when you use texture in the right way. So kind of pulling all of these things together, you know, Phyllis talked about the story side of it. Well, texture is part of that story. And when you're telling the story and you're talking about pulling all of those details in, you know, you're shooting that story in a way, but you're also going to be looking for some of those small detail pieces that help flesh out that story, the bigger scene. Cam is talking about the big spaces and the proximity and like how to really show the vastness of those spaces. But there's texture in all of that that you can look for and help pull in.
Yeah, I even look at the golden grasses as texture and the mountains, the mountains and the rocks as texture.
The layers.
All of that. Yeah, all that is texture.
Yeah.
Even the fog. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the fog in Montana was really cool, like how it hung. That was very much a texture.
I think the texture can be found differently in scale. So if you're shooting something vast and wide, you're looking at the texture of the layers and the mountains and the sky and how that all comes together. But then you also need to remember there's texture in the details and pull that in and grab those pieces too.
And from a technical standpoint, a lot of times texture is something when you're shooting, or at least for me, I'm going to talk for myself. When I am shooting, I don't always recognize the texture in the same way that I'm going to portray it as an edited image. Phyllis is a master at this, by the way. So it's looking at that image and determining how you want to tell the texture of that story. Does it need to be soft or does it need to be hard? Or do you want to bring out a lot of the detail, like in a horse's coat, a hair coat? Or do you want to make it softer and feel like it would feel very soft to the touch? And technically, the way that you do that when you're editing is you're using the tools at your disposal. If you're using Lightroom or Photoshop or Adobe Camera Raw, you're going to use the things under the presence tab where you're looking at literal texture in your image. And then you are also looking at dehaze and clarity. And those types of sliders, when you're doing your editing, those will like sharpen sharpen the details. Or if you're going to go to the clarity side, you can soften them as well. And this is another place that I think that the filters in Greater Than Gatsby and Nick filters both come out really, really well. And well, any kind of filters, but those two in particular, they help us be able to tell the story of texture much better because they can help you enhance depending upon how you want to tell that particular story. So as a photographer, we need to know we have these tools at our disposal. Not only when we're shooting, do we need to start recognizing it and shooting with it in mind, but when we are editing, taking some time and exploring with that image to be what really wants to come forward in this image. And how do I want to utilize things like cropping for space and story, and also where we want to use those editing tools for filters and sliders and those kind of things to enhance what we captured in the capture.
Awesome. Okay. I think that's a wrap.
Yay.
For this episode. So a couple of things. We want to say thank you one more time to Gilt Canvas and Greater Than Gatsby for all their support this year. If you guys want to learn more about them, we'll drop their links in our show notes for this episode. So you can just link directly to them and learn more about both of their products and all the good work that they're doing out there for photographers. Also, you can, of course, we have a minimal, I think we have one spot left for our Trapper's Lake adventure. This year, we got one spot open as of right now, but we hope to have our 2027 list out really, really soon. For keep an eye out for that, because we'd love for you to join us somewhere next year if you've been thinking about doing that. You can find us online as well, where we make all sorts of announcements at Cowgirls with Cameras on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. And of course, we have our private online community as well, which if you're not there already, I'm not really sure what's holding you up. Like, you should just be there. It's a great community. And that's cowgirlswithcameras.community. And that's probably the fastest place to get Cowgirls with Cameras news.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Cowgirls with Cameras. Don't let the laughter and learning stop here. Join our community on social media and be sure to visit our website for more opportunities to fulfill your photography goals. Head to cowgirlswithcameras.com. That's cowgirlswithcameras.com. See you next time.